and God is real, for I can see Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. My name is Matthew Curtis. I invite you to come with me on a journey through Scripture as we discover and uncover foundations of biblical truth. We're going to put one hand on the love of God. We're going to put that other hand on the faith of God. And we're going to learn how, from the Word, to apply God's Word practically to our everyday lives in Christ. The Lord recently instructed me to start doing this whenever I speak, and I want you to confess this with me as a profession of your faith. And you may even have heard another minister say something similar, but the Lord had me customize it for our purposes, for our ministry. So if you've got your Bible handy, wherever you are, I want you to raise it up to the Lord. I want you to say this confession with me, all right? Here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I receive the engrafted Word that saves my soul. I boldly declare, I am being changed from the inside out. My mind is being renewed, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's typical in the Bible that when you begin to rejoice over something, that you give the Lord a shout of praise. So wherever you are, I want you to just be bold and say it out loud. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, when they finished marching around Jericho, the Lord didn't tell them to whisper and then the walls fell down. He told them to give a shout, and that's when the walls fell down. Praise the Lord. All right, before we go any further, we're going to pray. I want you to release faith with me over this episode because God has some amazing things that He wants to feed your spirit today. And just like we already prayed, our minds are being renewed, especially when your heart is open, your spirit man is going to be fed. You are going to be built up today as we preach and teach this wonderful word. So let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, all of us come before you and we release faith together concerning this episode. And we ask you for utterance. We ask you for boldness that I may declare this preaching and teaching of your holy word properly, that I may expose the plans and traps of the enemy by your help, Father, and that I may, by your grace, reveal the next steps, answers to questions, solutions to problems, and impart through me to the people who are listening today truth that makes them free in the name of Jesus. We ask you for ears that hear, and we ask you for seeing eyes as well, Father, and we receive it all, and we are excited about what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Are you ready? Let's get into the word. In episode 20, we talked about the four successive phases that Peter went through as he built his foundation in Christ. The first one was he had a confrontation with Jesus. The second one was the revelation that God gave him by the Holy Spirit. And today, as the Lord helps us, we're going to talk about number three and number four, and that is acknowledgement. And number four, your profession of faith. These are very important because anybody who builds their foundation in Christ has to pass through these successive phases just like Peter did. And it's all laid out in the Word. All right? So let's go to our foundational scripture that we always go to in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 9. This is the King James Version. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, something that's important to remember about the scriptures is the Bible never tells you things that you don't know first and then goes to something that you do know. No, the Bible follows a method of teaching where it reveals something that's familiar to you, something that's everyday, and then it uses that everyday practical experience, something that everybody could know and understand, and it leads you into something that's unknown. It teaches you what you don't know through the things that you do know. And two things in particular that the Spirit of God is bringing out is that we are God's husbandry, which could be translated, we're God's field. We're His planting. The second thing, which it focuses on, is that we are God's building. Now, I want you to remember that. We are God's building collectively as the body of Christ. We are the church of the living God, but we are also God's building individually. We are a piece and a part of the holy bride of Christ. We are a piece and a part of the church of the living God. And individually, we have calls to fulfill. God has an individual plan, and he has a collective plan for the body of Christ. All right? But because we are God's building, we need to understand all the different parts of a building. There's got to be a reason why the Spirit of God is using this metaphor. And that's because he wants us to know that if we're going to be built up as God's building, as God's structure in Christ, we can't just put a roof on without the supporting structure underneath. You can't just put all the framing without the supporting structure underneath. There's got to be a start. And what is that start? It's the foundation. So let's continue reading here in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. All right, so here we are. We're talking about the foundation. And what is the foundation? We need to remember what that is. And another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to say it with me. Jesus Christ is the foundation. My foundation is Jesus Christ. Are you putting it together? If you are God's building, you've got to have a foundation, and you've got to lay that foundation. Otherwise, why would the Spirit of God say that you need to take heed how you build on the foundation? But one thing that's important to remember, if Jesus is your foundation, and no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, I'm quoting scripture. If Jesus is that foundation, your life cannot be built on any other thing. Your life and your belief system can't be built on your education and what you know as a result of your education. Your life can't be built on your performance, your skills, your talents. Your life can't be built on your career. It can't be built on family, so to speak. It can't be built on anything else. The Bible says those things are shifting sand. But when you build your life on Jesus, that's tantamount to saying you're building your life on the holy word of God. And Jesus is the living word, and he's also the written word. And I think that's a big thing that so many Christians miss, is that when they read the Bible, they think of it as a holy book. They think of it as wonderful writings, life, all these good things, but they're not equating the written word to the living word. It is the same. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he becomes the foundation of your life, that's just the first step. If you're going to lay the rest of the foundation of Jesus, it's going to come by your experiential relationship with this word. When you read and you receive these words that are coming off the pages, and you begin to put it into practice, you are building the foundation of Jesus in your life. It's that simple. When the Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you do that, the cornerstone of your salvation is laid. And so as you are living your life for Jesus, and you are putting God's word into practice, that's tantamount to building the rest of the foundation. And when that foundation is complete, hallelujah, this is some of the exciting parts of your life, you begin to be able to build up as long as you're building according to God's plans, and that structure has to do with what you were put here on earth to do. And you begin to discover why your talents are particular to you. You begin to discover why the good things that God has put in you, what they're for, and what they're supposed to be used for. There are so many applications to this, and so God wants you to know as much as you're hungry for. All right, are you ready for what's next? I want to encourage you about something. When people think about building their foundation in Christ, there is a laborious attitude that the enemy wants to attach to you. Because a Christian tends to think, when they have this revelation, oh, I've got to build my foundation. There's so much work to be done. This is going to be so much labor. This is going to be hard. There's going to be challenge. No. Do you remember when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest"? That's how it's supposed to be whenever you're laying the foundation of Jesus in your life and whenever even you're building up. Yes, it's going to take natural and physical work because God's got an assignment for you to do. But the spiritual part, it's always rest and it's always faith and it's always peace. And when things get laborious, that's a good sign that we're not building according to God's plans. When things get boring, that's a good sign we're not building anything. When things get drab, when things aren't adventurous for you in your life anymore, when it seems like there's just more and there's more you could be doing, well, that's a good sign you haven't laid or finished laying your foundation, or even maybe you've laid your foundation in Christ and you're not doing what God has put you on earth to do. These are things we must be honest with ourselves about and just get real and just get down to the nitty-gritty with things and just be like, okay, I got to get serious about following God. So I want to encourage you, don't let the pressures of building your foundation, don't let the pressures of seeking God and being a doer of God's word weigh you down, because it's not supposed to be laborious. If it is, you're doing something wrong. So just go back and double check. And remember, faith is a rest. When you get into faith about these things, there's going to be peace, there's going to be rest, and especially when you're following God, it's some of the most exciting days of your life. Hallelujah. It's so fulfilling and it's so rewarding, not just hypothetically, in reality, because we have so many promises attached to the word. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8, and we're going to read something that the Holy Spirit ministered to me that I wanted to bring across to you. And this is in verse 16. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was finished, so the house of the Lord was perfected. I want you to pay attention to that word, perfected. When Solomon built the temple, he took all that King David prepared, all the finances, all the building materials. And he built the temple in stages, because again, you can't build the roof first, you can't build the framing first, you have to build the foundation first. And in other scriptures, if you go back and read it, when they built the foundation, it was cause for great joy. They actually rejoiced and celebrated. And even in the book of Ezra, when they came back to rebuild the temple, the rebuilding and relaying of the foundation was such a pivotal moment, was such a dramatic and exciting moment that people wept. Because they saw the former house before it was burned. They rejoiced because the temple was being built again. Laying the foundation of Jesus in your life is an exciting thing. It's a joyous occasion. And especially it's a victorious occasion when you've got it built and you start in on what God has called you to do for your life. This is something that the enemy wants to keep from happening. He wants to keep you from completely laying the foundation of Christ, because if he can, then he can keep you from doing what God puts you on earth to do. But when you finish laying that foundation, hallelujah, then God can start working on perfecting you. Woo, glory. And when God perfects you, this is not something where you're just flawless in performance. You never make a mistake. No, the Bible word for perfection or being perfect has to do with being mature. It has to do with being complete. And how many know that in Christ, we have been made complete? Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. I want to show you this too. We're talking about the word complete. Complete, complete, complete in him. How many remember that song? I am complete in him. It's a sing-song that you may have sang when you were growing up in kids' class, but it's still good to sing today. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and beginning in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give these? For the perfecting of the saints. Do you see that word perfect there? So the temple was made complete in Solomon's day. It was made perfect in Solomon's day. There was nothing missing and nothing broken. There was nothing left out from the plans that God gave to King David that Solomon built. Everything was completed just as God instructed them to, and the temple was perfected. Well, so why are the fivefold ministry gifts given to the body of Christ? So that the body of Christ, the temple, the church, the structure of the living God can be perfected. Do you see how all this fits together? As we're preaching the anointed word to you today, and you're receiving it by faith, you're mixing faith with what you hear, you are being perfected and you don't even know it. Your mind is being renewed to the written word of God, even though you may not be able to sense it. That's why we need preachers. We don't just need a few of them. We need more of them. Hallelujah. So mix your faith with the rest of this episode today, and God is going to work some amazing things in you. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the next scripture. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 13. This is the King James Version. Now, again, in the previous episode, we talked about the first two successive phases that Peter passed through. We talked about how Peter had a confrontation with Jesus. We talked about how God gave Peter the revelation of who Jesus is by the Holy Spirit. And so you have to go through those first two phases. Just like you have to build the foundation before you can build anything else in a structure, you have to first have a confrontation with Jesus. Let's read in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." That's Jeremiah. He saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We said this earlier in our episode, but how many of you out there can boldly say that you have confessed Jesus as the living Son of God in your life? If you've done that, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows us by name. And there are so many amazing things that we've got in store for us in the kingdom to come. But I want you to know that when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" they didn't say, "Well, we know that you are the son of Joseph. Well, we know that you're a carpenter. You're the carpenter's son. Well, we know you're a good man. You're the best man we've ever met, Jesus. I mean, since you've asked us to follow you, it's just been an amazing time, and you've done these miracles, and we've just been so awestruck and amazed." No, they didn't say any of that. That's what other people were saying. And why would people say these things about Jesus instead of confessing Jesus as the Son of God like Peter did? Because they don't know him. They didn't know him like the disciples knew him. They didn't walk with him. They didn't talk with him. They didn't see the whites of his eyes, so to speak. They didn't hear from his mouth the living word of God like they were hearing it. But you know, all it takes is for you to come close, just like the disciples did, just like they followed him, and they began to hear his words, and they began to see Jesus for who he is, and they had a confrontation themselves with Jesus. You can too. And so if you're watching this and you've never met Jesus, and you've never made him as the Lord of your life, you can. Hallelujah. So stay tuned with us, all right? There's some amazing things that we want to minister to you. All right, going back to the word here, when Peter confessed that Jesus, you're the Son of God, I know who you are, that was a result of his personal confrontation with Jesus that no man could give. Other people had another revelation about Jesus, they thought, but Peter had the real revelation. And it pleased Jesus so much. You know why? Because of what Jesus said after that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, this is verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise the Lord. So we've talked about a lot of different things. If you're just catching up with us on this episode, we'd like you to go back, listen from episode one, and get caught up with us. There are many things that the Lord ministered to us, and you need to know in order to fully understand all the things that go into this, all right? But we're talking about Peter's confrontation with Jesus. And the next thing is he had a revelation from God that Jesus is the Son of God. And so then Jesus responded, he was pleased, and he began to tell Peter, and I'm doing this in my own words, because if I'm putting myself there, I can just see Jesus smiling at Peter and being like, yeah, Peter, nobody showed you that. It was God who told you that. And I'm going to tell you something. On this rock, I'm going to build my church, and you're going to be Petras. You're going to be a piece of that rock. But Petra, that's this bedrock that we've talked about. That's the foundation of the earth, the Bible likens it to. And so Jesus is equating this experience that Peter is having with building and laying the foundation, Petra, into our Christian lives. When you know that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, it's a result of the revelation that came to you from God the Father by the Holy Spirit. And when you believed in your heart and you confessed him with your mouth, like we said at the beginning of the episode, Jesus becomes your personal Lord and Savior. You're made a new creation in Christ. All things pass away. Everything becomes new. And the cornerstone of your salvation is laid. But now everything that you lay as a part of your foundation is up to you. And it's going to be determined continuously by receiving revelation from the Father and confessing it with your mouth, believing in your heart. So for example, whenever you realize that Jesus didn't come just to save your spirit, he came also to save your soul and to save your body, like for example, from sickness and disease, well, you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your healer. And you can say, in the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. That's the same thing that you did when you said, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the same thing. And your faith became sight and a miracle happened and you were made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, why would it work any differently if you believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth that Jesus is the healer of your body? That Jesus heals you, that Jesus takes your sicknesses, that he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by Jesus' stripes, you are whole. Why wouldn't a miracle take place when you confess with your mouth that that happens? It will when you mix faith with it. Praise the Lord. And so this is how we build. This is how we lay. And there's much more to this. I can't get into it. I'm excited about it, but we're going to get into some future episodes where we're going to talk about these things in more detail. But these are the first two successive phases that Peter passed through. And on this rock, Petra, is how I will build. You catch that? This is how I will build. On this rock, I will build. How do you build? You see what I'm saying? I have a confrontation with Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals to me what Jesus is saying, who Jesus is, what I have, who I am in Christ. He reveals these things. And if I'm going to build, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. And that's how we establish ourselves on the bedrock of Christ. All right? Praise the Lord. Now let's get into the main point of today, and that is the third successive phase, which is our acknowledgement. Now, do you know that after you have a revelation of Jesus, you have to acknowledge that he is the Lord of your life somehow? You've got to display it. You've got to show it. You've got to express it. Sometimes it's just as simple as giving the Lord your yes publicly. And that's why we have things like public baptisms. And so one of the main reasons why we're baptized as Christians after we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior is because it's a public confession of our faith in Christ. It's an outward display and expression of an inward work. When Jesus did a work in you, in your insides, in your spirit man, and he made you a new creation, you still look the same on the outside. How is anybody going to know that you're different? You've got to act like Jesus because he is the firstborn of every creature, new creature in Christ. And when we are made new creations, we're not made a new creation that's different than Jesus. We're made a new creation to be exactly like him. And now you have the ability to act like him because you've been born again to be just like him. And so you don't live the same. You don't talk the same. You don't act the same. You don't walk the same. The things that you did, you don't do anymore. The things that you used to like, that's a part of your flesh. That's a part of your carnal nature, your unsaved nature. You don't like that anymore. And it's not because you just decided to change yourself. No, the work that Jesus did in you changed you. Hallelujah. The work that God begun in you, it is a work that begins to bring about a maturity in who you are in Christ. You don't start out a mature adult in Christ. You start out as a little born baby. And then as you begin to mature in the things of God, as you begin to grow up in love and in faith, as you begin to put God's word into practice and follow his plan for your life, then you begin to mature until you are perfected. Hallelujah. Do you see how all this fits together? God's word is so amazing. It's so vast, but it all fits together and connects like one big puzzle. But Peter had to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Just like we must acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, but go further and show the world and show ourselves that we belong to him. And until and unless you do this, you will not be able to properly lay the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life. You are going to have to let it be known that you are a child of God, that you belong to Jesus and he belongs to you, and you are different. You are a different person than you used to be. Otherwise, when people see us, how will they know that anything is special? How will they know that we're walking in peace and we're walking in joy when they don't have that? How will they know that when you serve the Lord, that the blessing of Abraham comes on you and you are blessed so much that you can have more than enough and abound to every good work, that you don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to suffer and just get through life and just wonder where your next meal is going to come from. But maybe there's those of you who you feel like you're already doing well. And what do I need God for? And what do I need all this Christian Bible stuff for? Well, the fact of the matter is that you don't know that longing in your heart, that dissatisfaction that's going on in there. That's because your heart is reaching out for something beyond your knowledge. It's reaching out for your Creator, even though you may not realize it. It's wanting to experience your heart, your spirit being, is wanting to experience a love that all of us have experienced as we've came to know Christ. And you wouldn't know that unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And then those of us who are in Christ and we have that dissatisfaction, God wants to satisfy that. God wants to fulfill that. And a big reason why we have that as a Christian is because we've went through the first stage. We've went through the second stage. We've got the revelation that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Maybe even that he's our healer and other things. But there's a dissatisfaction because we're not following him. And that is where the acknowledgement comes in. How many are ready to follow Jesus? Whether you felt like that you've been following him, or maybe you feel like you're just getting started following him, as long as you're breathing, you've got an assignment that God wants you to fulfill. And it doesn't end when you complete that one. He's just going to keep giving you more and more and more as you're hungry for it and as you desire to go further with Jesus. And the assignments just keep getting better and better and better. And the reward keeps getting greater and greater and greater until the goodness of God overwhelms you in your life. And you're just like, God, you are so good. I didn't know way back then when I just first confessed to you as Lord of my life that you had all these wonderful things in store. And I want to tell you out there, everybody under the sound of my voice, God has got a good plan for your life. but he wants you to follow him so that you can live that outward acknowledgement and tell people about Jesus. Not because you're supposed to be a preacher, your life is supposed to preach. The goodness of God on your life is supposed to preach. The fact that you are healed when others are going through sickness and diseases, the fact that you receive your healing when you experience sickness and disease is testimony that God is a healer and that he is good and he didn't put all this junk on you. And that, so to speak, rings the dinner bell of salvation. When people see that you overcome in your life and it's because of God and his written word, people want to become a Christian. People will want to know what you know, and you'll be able to lead them to Jesus because of what he's done for you. So if you've never met Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to lead you in a prayer today. And I want you to confess this with all the strength in your heart, because God wants to make something out of your life. Every believer has confessed this at one point of time. And when you do today, the Lord is going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's going to make you a citizen of heaven. Old things are going to pass away, and all things are going to become new. And even if you've been a believer and you're ready to follow Jesus and you're ready to go further with him, say this prayer with me and let's make a fresh commitment with God. All right? Are you ready? I want you to say this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit myself to you today. I realize you've got a good plan for my life, and I must follow that plan to experience your goodwill, to experience your blessings, and all the amazing things you have in store for me. Jesus, I believe that you came, you died, you rose again triumphantly from the grave, and you're seated in heaven as my advocate. Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you are my healer. You are my provider. And I make you the Lord of my life today. And as you lead me, I will follow you everywhere you go. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to email us at connect@kim.faith. We want to rejoice with you. And as you go to our website, there's a lot of things that you can see on there. We've got different outreaches of the ministry. You can come to one of the meetings that the Lord has us going to preach the word of God and just become a part of the family. You don't owe us anything. We are here because we love you and we want to feed you the precious word of God. All right? We'll see you in the next episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast.